Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Or I can say the commentary of the comedy of the Quran. In our last broadcast, we talked about the sad news which Joseph's brothers took to their father Jacob, as it is written in Quran chapter 12, verses 16 to 18. For there we read, "And they came at evening to their father, weeping. They said, O our father, surely we went away racing, and we left Joseph with our goods. So the wolf ate him, and you will not believe us, even if we were truthful." And they put on his kameez, his shirt, was a lie, false blood. He said, "Yet your soul lightens the affair. So patience is beautiful, and Allah is the one who is asked for assistance about what you described." Obviously, we talked enough in our last broadcast to expose the propaganda, or we can say the comedy, of how Jacob received the bad news about the death of his son and how he reacted like nothing went wrong. Obviously, the reason of that, because Muhammad did not know what really took place, what happened. Well, let us add another important portion of the comedy or the erroneous word of Allah in the Quran, and that is beginning from verse 19 of Quran chapter 12. And there we read, "And a traveler came there and saw they sent a drawer of water. So he let down his bucket. He said, 'Good news, here is a young man.' And they hid him merchandise, and Allah knew and what they are doing." Wow. Let's ask some questions. Who are the travelers? We do not know. Where they were coming from and where they're going? We do not know. How in the world that little boy now became a young man? We do not know. Maybe some would think Joseph stayed in the well for a few years, so he grew up from being a little boy to a grown-up young man. No. It all happened in one day. Miraculously? I think not. It's just simply huge errors in the Quran. Let's move on to verse 20. "And they bought him for a lesser price of a numbered dirham." What is dirham? It's a coin, non-Arabic, from Greek origin. And here we see a huge error. It cannot be swallowed. Why? Because dirham were made between 711 or 712 after Christ. That is 93 AH after Hijrah. You have to understand, Muslims believe that the Quran was given to Muhammad by Angel Jibreel. That is between 610 AD and 633 AD when Muhammad died. And now the story is about Joseph, which took place roughly 1900 years before Christ. And what Muhammad is doing in the Quran is beyond my imagination. And I don't think it was Muhammad. It had to be somebody else who came after Muhammad. Why? Because Joseph was sold for less number of dirham, a coin that did not exist until 80 years after the death of Muhammad. Which means the Quran we have in our hand today was actually written at least 80 years after Muhammad died. Which, by the way, does not fit with Joseph's account period. According to the Bible, as we're going to see in a little bit here, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, not by any number of dirham. Now we ask the question, who bought who for how much? We do not know. We do not know who are the people who sold Joseph, and we do not know who are the people who bought Joseph, and we do not know how much they bought him for. But from the reading of the Quran, we can discover that the sales of Joseph and the travelers, not Joseph's brothers as recorded in the Bible, as written here in the Quran story. Continue with the Quran. And they were not interested in him. Wow, why not? Because he was just a young man. Maybe he was not good, or whatever reason you can imagine for. Now in verse 21 we read, and he who bought him in Egypt said to his woman, or we can say he meant his wife, treat him generously. Perhaps he might be useful to us, or maybe we can take him a son. What a great comedy. Buying a slave in Egypt is not to adopt a child. After all, we figure out that he was a young man, no longer a boy. Maybe if he was still a little boy, we can say they will adopt him. But in reality, that's not what we read in the biblical account, as we will see in our next broadcast. And now I'd like to share with you the true biblical account as it is written by the hand of Moses, with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to know exactly what took place in the life of Joseph. And that is what is written in Genesis chapter 37, beginning from verse 18. As we learned from our last broadcast, that Jacob sent his son Joseph to check on his brothers in the land of Shechem. And after Joseph went there, he did not find them, and he was looking around for them. He found a man in the field, and he told him that his brothers went to the land of Dothan. Now Joseph continued to search for his brother, and he traveled all the way to the land of Dothan. And here is the rest of the story. For in verse 18 we read, now when they saw him afar off, these are the brothers of Joseph, after they saw Joseph, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Notice here, it was not plotted before while he was with his father. It plotted on the spot when they saw him in the pasture. Let's continue with the rest of the account. In verse 19, then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Notice in these two verses, we learn about the dreams of Joseph. We know for sure, without any doubt, that his brother knew about his dreams. That is when they said in verse 19, look, this dreamer is coming. And in verse 20, we shall see what will become of his dreams. Notice also the word dreams is written in plural, which means in the English language, two or more. In the Quran, as I remind you, Muhammad stated that Joseph told the dream to his father, and his father told him not to tell the dream to his brothers. And that's why I always wonder, what is the reason why Joseph's brothers will hate Joseph just because their father loved him? After all, he was a little boy, as we have discussed the matter according to the wording of the Quran for how Joseph's brothers asked their father Jacob to let them take Joseph with them to play and have fun at the pastures, as we read in Quran chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Let us continue with the true biblical account as we read the rest of the account beginning from verse 21. But Reuben, that is one of the brothers of Joseph, which obviously neither Allah nor Jibreel nor Muhammad know anything about, because trust me, if you search for the name Reuben anywhere in the Quran or in the Hadith, you will never find him. You may find Alexander the Great as a great prophet, or you may find Haman as one of the princes of Pharaoh, but you will never find Reuben. Okay, now we continue with the biblical account. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him. That is the statement of Reuben. According to the Quran, we read a similar statement. And let me remind you, because here is the word of Allah in Quran chapter 12. In verse 10, we read, a speaker among them said, excuse me, does this speaker have a name? No, Muhammad just heard about it. He could not remember. So he just made a speaker. And what did he say? Listen to the opposite statement of that which we read in Genesis. Do not kill Joseph and cast him down to the bottom of the well. Some travelers will pick him up if you were doing it.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Notice the plan of the speaker was very simple. Don't kill Joseph. Cast him into the well. And he, that speaker, is a prophet because he's actually prophesying about what is coming. Some traveler will pick him up and they will take him. Who is that speaker from among them? His name is Reuben. What did he say in the Bible? In verse 21, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him. Now let us listen to the rest of that verse, verse 22, to learn about why Reuben did that. According to the Quran, he said why? Because some travelers will come and pick him up and he will be gone for good. But according to the Bible, let us read exactly what God said, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. What a huge difference between the true speaker, that is Reuben, in Genesis chapter 37, verses 21 and 22, and that comedy we read in the Quran, in Quran chapter 12, verse 10. According to the biblical account, not only Reuben saved Joseph's life from being killed by his own brothers, but he was actually planning to return him back to his father, as we'll continue with the biblical account. In verse 23, we read, so it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. In verse 25, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bringing spices, balm, and myrrh, and their way to carry them down to Egypt. Notice the details here. All what we read in the Quran, some travelers. We do not know where they coming from or where they going to. We do not know what companies they were with. We have zero information about these travelers. But according to the Bible, we know that they were Ishmaelites coming from Gilead and going to Egypt. Wow, now we can even prove from that one verse that the Ishmaelites were not living in Saudi Arabia, but they living between Havilah and Egypt. After all, Ishmael, as we read in Genesis account, had a wife from Egypt. as his mother, the Egyptian, took to him a wife from Egypt. So logically, the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael, would be traveling back and forth between some land like Gilead and Egypt. Continuing in verse 26 of Genesis 37, we read, "So Judah said to his brothers," who? Judah. Who is Judah? Don't worry, Allah, Jibreel, Muhammad, Muslim scholars do not know Judah. As a matter of fact, once again, I challenge any Muslim, as I challenge them with the name of Reuben, to show me the name Judah anywhere in the Quran or in the Hadith. We continue. "So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Who come up with the idea of selling Joseph? It was Judah. Who tried to save him from his brother to take him back to his father? It was Reuben. Can you see the difference between the Quran and the Bible? Not one of them tells the others, but we got information, details to help any reader to understand the true biblical account. In verse 28, "Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." This is what I call very important information. Without it, we could not understand the true biblical account of Joseph. That is something is missing from the Quran. Not only in the best of the stories of the Quran, Quran chapter 12 verse 3 concerning Joseph, but the entirety of the Quran. When you read the Bible and you read the Quran about any story, if it was from creation to Adam to all the way to Jesus, you will have no clue who is talking about what to tell us where and when and how things happened or took place. Let's continue to see what happened when Reuben came back to get his brother out of the bed to take him back to his father Jacob. In verse 29 we read, "Then Reuben returned to the bed, and indeed Joseph was not in the bed, and he tore his clothes." Yes, indeed, that is a very normal reaction when he saved his brother Joseph from the rest of the brothers and was able to convince them to put him in the pit, because he was planning to come back to get Joseph out of the pit to take him back to his father. And now his brother is no longer there, and now he tore his clothes. That is a great evidence of the great sorrow which fell on him when he discovered that his brother is gone. Continuing in verse 30, we read, "And he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, that is the brothers, killed a kid of goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Now it makes lots of sense. According to the Quran, "Oh, daddy, we got busy racing one another. We were playing and we left Joseph and the wolf ate him." Man, oh man, what a stupid dialogue by Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad. When in reality, when you read a logical account, as we read here in the Bible, they just send the shirt to their father and ask, "Check it out, Dad. Does this look like Joseph's shirt?" And the shirt was covered with blood. Now, according to the Quran, they put false blood on his shirt. Why? What was the purpose if they already know that he was eaten by the wolf? That statement does not make any sense. There was no reason to take the shirt to their father. But according to the Bible, they use the shirt to explain to their father, "We have a problem. And we do not know if this is really the shirt of our brother Joseph or not. Check it out, Dad. You know better if that's his shirt or not." Now let us see the reaction of Jacob. Let me remind you, according to the Quran, he said, "Oh, patient, you're making a big deal about it. Take it easy. Life is good. Hey, Leah, Zilpha, Bilha, make dinner to these guys. Please, a hot cup of coffee for each one. They work hard all day, like nothing really wrong happened. But when we read the Bible, we read the logical reaction of a father who lost his son, the son whom he loved more than the rest of his sons. In verse 33, we read, and he, that is Jacob, recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Notice what he said. He didn't say a wolf, but he said a wild beast, because logically, Jacob could not know who ate his son, nor his sons know what kind of beast ate or devoured their brother. Continue in verse 34. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. That is the normal reaction. That is the logical you expect from a father who loves his son. Not just say some stupid word, ridiculous word, as we read in the Quran, but this is how any father who loves his son will react when he sees the blood covering the shirt of his son. In verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.